Gillette Stadium, and it is Patriots Monday on a Tie Tuesday. That means that Ty Law is here with us this morning. Real quick, we should open up the Window World Boston weather window for Curtis and find out what today and the week is going to be like, if you could chime.
Ooh, beautiful out here, Greg. 65 degrees, sunny skies in Foxborough. Always sunny when Ty Law's around. Afternoon high of 76. Going to be in the 80s at the end of the week, and Sunday looks perfect for Gillette for the home opener, mid 70s.
Okay, right. you coming here Sunday?
Yeah, I'll be here.
You'll be here.
Yeah, okay. I'll be here for the tailgating. I'll be here.
Yeah,
all right.
For the tailgate.
Get that bread, man.
What should people drink at the tailgate?
I understand, like my son plays on Sunday, so it's going to mess up a lot of stuff.
Oh,
you know they play at one. Why they got these?
Oh yeah,
that's should be set football, NFL yeah. football. I love the kids, but. That ain't for the kids on Sunday, man. Yeah. So my son plays at 1 o'clock.
Oh, he plays at 1 o'clock?
Man, so I'll be here before certain times. I've got to be commitments down here, but I'm pissed off.
Okay. How's he looking?
Huh? He's looking pretty good. He ain't rocking it like his daddy yet, but he's doing all right.
I'm still young, though.
He's still a pup. But it's funny because Malcolm Butler's son is also on the team, so they're the two DBs.
Why was he benched?
Huh?
Why was Malcolm Butler benched? Have you found out?
When?
Super Bowl 52, the biggest question in New England sports history.
Oh, no, I'm going to let Malcolm answer that for you. I can't even tell you.
Well, give him some Corvus, see what he says.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a little danger
out of it.
Are you acting once again as an unofficial advisor to Christian Gonzalez? And is there some kind of a hold-in going on here? Or
No, I am not. Is he holding it?
I think he's hurt. He's legit.
Oh, okay.
He's about to get paid, though.
He's about to get the bag, though. But, you know, you're looking at a guy that you can really look at him and say he deserves it because he's good. He's going to be the future. And you can see he's constantly getting better and better, you know, every year. So, you know, Kraft going to happen. He's going to have to back up the Brinks truck on that one.
Yeah.
The injuries are the only thing that kind of throw a monkey wrench in it because, remember, he got hurt his rookie year. Now he's hurt again. So two of the 3 years, he's dealt with some type of injury. So that, you know.
Like that's why he fell in the draft.
But you also got to look at his age and his health and his upside. So, you know, that is going to always carry you at this point. Now, if he was later on in his career, even a good player, and he started getting injury bugs start coming, that's a different ball game. So, you know, leverage to the team. But right now, if he can stay healthy,
but you know them cheap.
He has all the leverage.
You know them cheap ass owners. Look what they did to Micah Parsons in Dallas. Nobody wants to, you know, like they try to penny pinch any way they can.
Oh my goodness, I don't understand that one either. But he got $188 million reasons to like cheese now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you know.
I'm sorry, Sean.
That's right.
No, I ain't.
It's all good. I'm on it.
We got to start it right.
All right, that's number one. Yep. So swear jar activated.
Yeah, activated.
That was an S-bomb for those of you that aren't on Twitch or on YouTube and hearing it undumped.
Is Green Bay one of the worst teams to play for? Like, if you're a player, is that a place you don't want to go? Because there's nothing to do
out
there?
You know what? When I was coming out in the draft, that was one team that I wasn't fond of going for. But I also got to say that I wasn't a fan of coming to New England either because I didn't know anything about it. And when I came to the visit, I didn't see it wasn't this beautiful, you know, this stadium and all that, man. We were playing in some BS, you know what I mean? So Green Bay, though, no one talks about, hey, I want to go to Green Bay, man.
Hell
y'all want to get to go.
Hell no.
To go to Green Bay. You don't even want to go there to golf.
To Appleton, nothing.
You don't even want to go there to golf.
You got
to
go to Milwaukee, I think.
Do they even get a golf course?
No, I think the dudes go to Milwaukee or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. You go there, but you don't hear people talking about that's the city that you want to go to. And I'm sure it's great for the players up there because think about it, if you win at Green Bay, you're going to be set forever. As long as you're going back and being a part of the community, that's that type of team. But I don't think coming out – as a kid or if you're a free agent, unless they're throwing a bag at you, that's a place that you want to go. That's in my opinion.
No, you're right about that. Ain't nothing.
Hell, I'm gonna say it. Charles Woodson. They love Charles Woodson. They paid him a lot of money. Defensive Player of the Year. But damn it, we got the same agent. Yeah. That wasn't his first choice.
You're right.
That wasn't your first choice to go to Green Bay.
And I guarantee you, as soon as the season was over, he was on the first thing smoking.
First thing smoking.
Would you have done the deal if you were the Patriots and give up two first-round picks and a player for Micah Parsons?
Two first-round picks?
So the Packers traded two firsts and who's the
Kenny
guy?
Clark.
Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons. giving him that big deal. Would you have done what the Packers did?
You know what?
Hell yeah. Hey. Come on,
you
man.
You know what? No, Micah Parsons, that's a once-in-a-lifetime type of talent, man. He's a generational type of talent. So you don't know what you're going to get with those first two, especially when you're picking later in the draft.
Yep.
You don't know what you're going to get, so you're not going to be able to replace him. But at the same time, from a business standpoint, they already got two the highest-paid quarterback in the game. Then you got one of the highest-paid receivers in the game. Eventually, the business side of it is going to catch up with you. How many times can we make the highest-paid player at the position because their time is up? You know what I mean? So, but Micah Parsons, you got to find that and make an exception, even if you got to let somebody else go, in my opinion, because you're not going to make it up with those two first-round picks. You might strike a pot of gold. You might get somebody later in the first round. Like your boy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Hall of Fame or something. Yeah. But you never know.
Well, it seems like that's one of the things that Mike Vrabel was what they were thinking internally is they want to save their picks, which doesn't make sense to me. In a perfect world,
you would get someone that was half as good as Micah Parsons at the end of the first round.
But it's the money and the guaranteed money that's thrown out there, and the reality is we still live in a salary cap era.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you got to think that the Cowboys, even though they're valued at this, everybody talk about the value of the franchise. Yeah, but you still have a cap. You can't just spend as much as you want when it's a salary cap.
You know what ruined it for Dallas for Micah Parsons was Dak Prescott, because Jerry's like, damn, I already made this dude the highest paid player in the league, and he's not living up to it, and so he's probably scared to roll the dice on Micah Parsons. Like,
I would say that.
Yeah, and that's part of it when you're giving Dak all that money, and he's like, well, what has Dak done? So, I would do it all day long, because there are a few positions that can ultimately change the game. And in my opinion, obviously we know it's the quarterback, but then the next in line is that defensive end or that Aaron Donald tackle that can completely change the game. We love the corners, but the corner can only lock one side of the field down. They could just be like, man, we're going to go away from this dude.
Right.
You can't really do that.
It can kind of take you out of the game, the game a little bit. But what I was surprised at is when they were talking about the money, to see that he jumped like $5 million over the next guy. So that was the thing. So if I'm Jerry on that side, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make you the highest paid, but it's usually incremental. You know what I mean? You got three or four guys that sign. Okay, they're at $40-41 million.
Nice.
Hey, man, give me 42. Give me 42.5. To go up there and get 40, 47.
45, 45.
Huh? To jump that much, I mean, hey, more power to him and his agent, and Green Bay for stepping up doing so. And if it was higher draft picks, you might say, okay, it might not have been that bad. I might be able to get it, even though it's still a reach. But to jump the next guy when everyone did their contract right now, $5 million, more power to Micah Parsons and his agent.
Mike has talked about the draft picks, but also, I think, talked about how maybe he wasn't a good fit for this team in particular. Is there any way in your mind that he wouldn't be a good fit for what Mike Vrabel thinks this team is right now?
With his personality and probably coming in here having his own podcast every week, that doesn't fit the personality or the culture of the Patriots. But again, times change, and this is what it is now. I mean, paying, you know, Micah Parsons that to come here when you still have to get so many other pieces, yes, you might be a better defensive team, but are you going to be a playoff or a championship contender? No one's paying $188 million to somebody that's still on somewhat of a rebuild. You pay that stuff when you're looking to win and win now. And I think that's the commitment that Green Bay has given Micah Parsons and where their team is at in the moment, that, hey, we're making a Super Bowl run. That would have been, you know, dumb as hell to bring him here and pay him that kind of money when you know you're not established enough as a team to make that type of run.
But under Mike Vrabel, this should be a really good defense this year.
Oh, it'd be a very good defense, and probably be a great defense if you have somebody like Micah Parsons. But what else are you giving up? You still have so many other pieces. I mean, we love Drake May and what he's when he's doing right now. But again, you know, who are
you? Got a lot of holes.
You got a lot of holes back there. So I wouldn't invest in that. I would try to build the team first, then get those impact players like that. But you can't do it if you spend all the money.
Ty, you know what I'd like to get into your mind and you know, the sense, because obviously, you know, every player comes up differently, but you are a rookie, first-round draft pick, and I know Will Campbell is a first-rounder. Obviously, you know, he's a top-five first-rounder. What's the mindset like when the expectations are high on you as a player to go out there and contribute right away, and then you know week one you're going to see Max Crosby?
Ooh. You know what? I think you just got to change the way you look at it, because when you're coming in as a rookie, yes, there's expectations, but there's also expectations of you being a rookie. So when I came in, when I got to play against Jerry Rice, I was the most comfortable I've ever been, because guess what? There ain't no pressure on me because that's Jerry Rice. If I lose, damn it, I'm supposed to lose. I'm a rookie. But if I win, I'm the man. So I went in there, it's like, hey, I'm going to compete. But when you're talking about an offensive lineman, you have the pressure of protecting the most valuable position on the team. And that is a different type of pressure. So it's not so much as, can I do my job, or I'm playing against Max Crosby. I got to make sure Max Crosby don't hit him. So you're thinking about a little bit more when it comes to being drafted that high. You know, you have expectations, but you also can't let that guy get hurt, because yes, like.
Hold on, we just lost everything. I don't know if we can't hear anything.
I can hear you. I just can't hear Ty.
I couldn't hear Ty. Something got unplugged.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think just Ty's mic has cut out.
Ty's mic is off. Is mine off?
Nope, you're good.
You sound great.
Hold on.
I don't know.
Oh, now I got Ty.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
He's in and out.
You got it now?
He's in and out.
You got me?
Yeah,
I got you.
Okay, I'm sorry. But again, he has more, you know, pressure from that standpoint, you know, but we all understand that it is a learning curve as a rookie. No matter if you're a first-round pick or if you make the team, there are certain expectations. But at the end of the day, you're a rookie. But you got to protect our quarterback.
All right, we got to get you on record as we always do. Super Bowl, what's it look like?
You know what? That's hard right there, Greg, to say Super Bowl right now, because, of course,
you can't get out of it.
No, okay, can't get out of it. I'm going to finally say, I think Lamar Jackson can get over the hump.
That makes Shime happy.
This year.
Boomer said best roster in the NFL.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but they still have to do it and go out there and show and prove. So you've been close so many times. Yes, you have Patrick Mahomes. Yes, you're going to – Buffalo is thinking the same thing with Josh Allen. But and then on the NFC – Cowboys, I ain't seen the Cowboys. They ain't going no damn.
I like Green Bay.
Huh?
I like Green Bay.
I like Green Bay too.
Some people like the 49ers.
That Micah Parsons, that trade made those guys contender. And I just don't understand why you would trade him within your conference. That is the craziest stuff I ever seen. So if he goes off and wins a Super Bowl with Green Bay, you know they're gonna raise all kind of hell in Dallas.
Week 4 is gonna be interesting between the two.
Absolutely, and he going to be ready to rock and roll, because, again, he is a generational talent, but I don't understand it at all. But I think Green Bay, you got to look at them. Frisco.
Detroit. What about Detroit?
They lost too much to me. I think they lost by losing so many of their players. They lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their defensive coordinator.
And they have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
And they got a tough schedule, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know.
Biting kneecaps and toes isn't going to fly.
I think Detroit had their opportunity, you know, right there, and they didn't capture it. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to have to do some reshuffling. Still going to be a good football team, but you're talking about championship, Super Bowl. I don't know.
Normally with you, Ty Law, we get to the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. Maybe we can pick one from last night and Bill Belichick's debut as a college football coach.
Yeah, you know what? I got some.
Did you watch that?
Yes, I watched it. I watched it.
What did you?
Because I got excited.
What did you make of it?
Bill had me. He fooled me. He fooled me, everybody. I was talking cash money. I told you, Bill, he going to go change the game. The first series, and then they went 3-and-out to him. I was like, he's a defensive guy. He's not going to let him do that. Man, Bill.
Yeah. I mean,
they stunk up the damn joint after that, man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. See, Randy Moss and Michael Jordan, you figure like Michael Jordan there, Lawrence Taylor got the guys ready to rock and roll, 3-and-out. And then –
first play of the second half. House call. Somebody grab a flag or something.
Yeah, so my expectations were so high, especially after that first series. I didn't know what to think, but when they started off like that, with the script.
I was like,
I said, man, Bill, he got something here.
He got it.
But he got his ass whipped.
Oh, man.
Man.
Brutal.
I just want to know how these young 18 to 22-year-old kids are going to deal with the Monday morning meeting when he comes in and he's like, God damn it, Gio.
Yeah.
I could get some kid from Chapel Hill youth football to do that.
Oh,
with a lot of F-bombs?
Best believe Bill is going to be doing some changes. He's going to hold him accountable, though. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a bunch of transfer portals because he probably, you know, put you in there his damn self if you don't keep playing like that.
Right. So you're saying he's bringing another 70 players in?
Keep playing like that. I think he will to get the job done.
After last night?
Yeah.
Bill find a gray area where he can, like, get a guy to transfer midseason.
Huh? Yeah. I hear he's going to try to get a couple guys from Aliquippa, too. So I'm putting it out there. So, okay. Yeah.
All right. Brady got any eligibility?
No, there's already mock-ups of him in a UNC jersey all over X right now. Yeah.
How old's his son? How old's the youngest son?
He's
18.
Yeah, he looks
the oldest.
He's taller than his dad almost.
He is. Oh, yeah.
You reminded me. Tom Brady said over the weekend that Aaron Rodgers in his prime is the greatest passer that the league has ever seen.
I could, in terms of accuracy, like, he would have years where he would throw 33 touchdowns and, like, 4 picks. But I would put Mahomes ahead of him.
There's one guy that I would put ahead of all of them, and Ty knows him. Well, he might not know him personally, but he's from where Ty's from, and that's Dan Marino.
Damn right.
Dan Marino.
What? I mean, hey, you talking about
Pure passer.
Oh, they missed that nickname. It should have been Dan Marino.
And just flick the ball like he does it, like, usually you know, quarterback, they got to wind up. I've never seen a quarterback that didn't have to wind up because that's how you get your reads a lot of times. But Dan would just do something. You had to figure him out. You know, he hit it from here. You know, you see Tom, everybody else. Pure passer, though, I can see where Tom is coming from that when it comes to Aaron Rodgers because the strength and the velocity that it comes out. But, you know.
I still think.
You got to win to me. Yeah.
He did say in his prime also.
Yeah. Did you see him during the drills?
Which is the disclaimer.
At training camp the other day?
No. Yeah.
Oh, he looks so slow.
Yeah. I mean, I love Tom to death, but I think the greatest pure passer in NFL history is Dan Marino in his prime. And granted, he ain't running nowhere, but he didn't need to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He couldn't, but he couldn't.
Rodgers is up there, though. I ain't going to know.
No, he is. I mean, as far as talent, but everyone talks about his arm talent, his accuracy, and things like that for a long time. But at the end of the day, you got to win.
Yeah.
So when Tom says that, he just trying to take it off of himself. He could be like, damn it, it was me. I'm the best. You know what I mean? But that's not who Tom is. So we got to say it for him.
Yeah. All right, Sunday here, week one of the Vrabel era, a win for the New England Patriots?
Oh, yeah, we starting off with a win. I mean, I think it's great that you get the Raiders. Not saying that, you know, no disrespect to those guys, but, you know, no one's talking about them, you know, doing anything. They're pretty much in the same position as we are. Then we got, you know, storylines, Pete Carroll coming on back, you know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a good time, great game, but I think Vrabel got this.
Yeah. Okay. Everything going good with Corvus?
Yeah, everything going good. You know, it could be going better if we have us a shot before Lee.
Okay. All right. Well,
okay.
Shot o'clock.
Yeah, shot o'clock. It's always time. We day drinking. Okay.
Okay. Maybe we'll do that while Courtney attends to what is trending.
Yeah.
Ty Law every Tuesday during this NFL season. And here she is now with what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. The Red Sox take the first against the Guardians after dropping the series with the Pirates 6-4. That was the final yesterday with Brian Baio going 5 innings, giving up 3 runs on 5 hits while striking out 4. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch 6:35 with Garrett Crochet on the mound. Shaw McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. College football continued their opening weekend last night with Bill Belichick and UNC hosting TCU. The Horned Frogs absolutely destroying the Tar Heels. After a hot start for Bill's guys, 48-14 was the final in Chapel Hill. UNC's quarterback Gio Lopez also exited the game with a back injury. And the stat of the week is brought to you by Gillette, and I hate to do this, but the number of times Bill Belichick has coached NFL teams allowing 48 points 0 times in 511 games, but it just happened in his first game coaching in college.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you see this? I haven't seen the video. Did you see the tacky, like, setup of the press conference with the, like, balloons?
Oh,
all
yeah,
around?
Big time.
Oh, what a nice
step. They got Clemson coming in a couple weeks.
By the way, the entire coaching staff began their day this way of the UNC Tar Heels before going in to meet with Bill.
They had to. Gillette's Best Shave is now the best a fan can get. Get it while you can at Gillette.com/NFL. And that was brought to you by American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Central Mass Out of the Darkness Walk to Fight Suicide on Saturday, September 27th at Polar Park in Worcester. Oh, yeah, there it is. There's Brady. And he looks good in Carolina Blue.
He does look good in Carolina Blue.
Very, very good.
See, that's what the statue should have looked like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Wow. All right, that was What's Trending. Coming up, we've got your Hill Notes.